The scripture is taken from Matthew 6, 24 through 34. You cannot serve two masters, God and money, for you will hate one and love the other, or else the other way around. So my counsel is, don't worry about things, food, drink, and clothes, for you already have life in a body, and they are far more important than what to eat and wear. Look at the birds. They don't worry about what to eat. They don't need to sow or reap or store up food, for your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than they are. Will all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothes? Look at the field lilies. They don't worry about theirs. Yet King Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed as beautifully as they. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you, O men of little faith? So don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things and are deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them, and he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. And from Matthew 19, 16 through 26. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Good Master, what must I do to have eternal life? When you call me good, you are calling me God, Jesus replied, for God alone is truly good. But to answer your question, you can get to heaven if you keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. I've always obeyed every one of them, the youth replied. What else must I do? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sadly, for he was very rich. Then Jesus said to his disciples, it is almost impossible for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. I say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. This remark confounded the disciples. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, no one, but with God, everything is possible. Here ends the scripture. Where is your security? For the rich man whom Jesus spoke to, security was his wealth, his money, his palatial home, his fine clothes, his expansive farmlands and orchards, his well-stocked wine cellar, all of his material abundance. His security was in the things that he had, and because his security was there, he was now free to give from his wealth. Or I should say, he was not free to give from his wealth. Where is your security? Are you free to give? Let me ask the small children, where is your security? Is it being able to hold Daddy's hand? Are you upset when one of your brothers or sisters gets there first? Is your security in sitting in Mommy's lap? Is it in a goodnight kiss, a lot of toys, and a bedtime story? Is it in getting three desserts or the biggest piece of cake? If this is where your security is, you are not free to share Daddy's hand or Mommy's lap with anyone else. And you are upset if someone else gets more toys than you do. You are not free to share any of your toys or give away any of your desserts. Let me ask some of you youth, where is your security? Is it in your physical good looks, your handsomeness and strength, or in your shapely form and pretty face? Is your security in playing a musical instrument or being a good actor in a drama production or having a special skill with your hands? Is it in good grades in school, in your athletic ability, in getting approval from your friends and in being well liked? Whatever your security is, whether it is good looks, intelligence, skillful dexterity, approval by your peers, it seems to me to be human nature not to be free to give in those areas that threaten your security. An intelligent student whose security is in good grades is not free to help a student who is also competing for top honors, because that assistance might mean that the other student might get ahead. Witness the competition to get into medical school. A pretty girl whose security is in her good looks does not point out other pretty girls to her boyfriend, particularly if her boyfriend's security is in acquiring pretty girls. Let me ask you, parents, where is your security? Is it in raising children in such a way that they become a credit to your name, who behave themselves in front of your friends, who grow up to marry someone important and obtain a prestigious job? If this is your security, then you're not free to let your children manage their own lives and choose a vocation or a spouse less than your ideal. You will want to control your children to protect your own security. Your security is in the protection of your image as a parent from your friends and neighbors who might criticize you if your children turn out badly. You who are earning a salary, let me ask you, is your security in the amount of money that you earn? Is it in a pension plan, in the title of your job, in the kind of work that you do, in what your boss thinks of you? If your security is in your job, or in your title, or in your salary, then you're not free just to do anything. You're not free to give of your time beneath your dignity, nor are you free to help another who might move ahead of you on the ladder of success because of that help. You who are homeowners, let me ask you, is your security in the stylish neighborhood where your house is, or in the kind of people who live next door? Is your security dependent upon what your friends and neighbors think when they walk in the front door? Is it the amount of pretty china in the antique cabinet, the gorgeous rug on the floor, or the painting on the wall? If your security is in your house and immaculate lawn, you're not free to let just anyone live next door who might lower the value of your property. You're not free to give your children a chance to be messy and to jump on the couch. You're not free to leave your house unlocked and unattended. You who are women, is your security in a fancy hairdo and in the number of dresses and shoes you have in the closet? You who are men, is your security in the car you own or your membership in a service club? You who are senior citizens, is your security in good health, a safe place to live in, an adequate retirement income? If so, your security is just as tenuous as anyone else's. For those of you who attend an institutional church, is your security in the Sunday worship service, in the style of worship, in the church architecture, in the actions and words of the pastor, in the doctrines, beliefs, and rituals prescribed by the church? If your security is in any of these, you may not be free to let worse sinners than you come to church and sit next to you, and you may not be free to let your pastor spend some of his time in a bar or in a nightclub working for the Lord, for then he or she might expect you to do the same. Where is your security? Where is your security? I have probably not listed all the areas that would include everyone's security, but you know where you are free to give and where you must take from others to survive and protect your security. It has been my experience that in the kingdom of Larry, which I'm most familiar with, that in the past I have taken and hoarded those possessions and qualities in which I no longer needed, which were a surplus, or which by their loss caused no threat to my own security. In those areas that I was weak, I did my best to conceal them from others. I avoided dangerous places that would destroy my ego, my secure kingdom, and I put on a mask to keep hidden my real inner insecurities. I gave to my family who I loved and to my friends who I trusted, and I gave to God what was left over, as long as it was a surplus, as long as it did not hurt me very much, and as long as it did not destroy my human security. What I did give to God was largely to earn God's love for me and thereby increase my own security. Why has God come last in my giving in most of my life? Frankly, until recently, I have not understood what God is really like. I thought God was fair and a just God. Instead, I'm finding that he is an unfair and an unjust God. He gives me his love when I haven't earned it, forgives me when I don't deserve it, and he sent his son to die for me when I didn't even know that he existed. A just God would have punished me long ago for my sins, instead of accepting me just as I am. He would have never been so loving and kind. Recently, I have begun to examine my past and present giving and the reasons why I have given in the past. I don't know about you, but I've tended to give to people who I like and trust and who do not threaten my security. Take a look at your own Christmas card list. If it has been like mine, in the past it has included all of my friends and relatives and people that I wanted to impress. It did not include a single stranger, a person I did not like, or an enemy. If I'm really secure and free to give, my list would look a lot different. If I were secure, I would be sending cards also to those people who need to know that my security is not affected by them. I would be telling them the good news of Christmas. To whom do you send your Christmas cards? Jesus said, "Give all that you have and come follow me." That statement has been a threat to my security. And it has been a threat because I have not recognized that his security is much greater than my security. I did not know that God's love for me did not depend on my own security in proving that I was okay. I thought God wanted me to be good and clean and secure before he would take me. So I was earning my way into his love. Have you ever seen a fish that has already been cleaned when it was caught? I haven't. When you allow yourself to be caught by God, he does the cleaning, and he makes you secure out of the water. With God, everything is possible. I can serve a God who loves me, who accepts me just as I am. I'm just beginning to realize that God said, "I don't need your security, Larry. Give it to the poor, give it to your neighbor, give it to your enemy, and come follow me. Exchange your security for mine. I have all the security you will need." As I have reached this conclusion, I have sensed that the most secure person I know on earth was Jesus. His security was not in himself, in his family, disciples, friends, possessions, or whatever. It was in his Father. There was no security on earth that he needed to have because his security was in God. Because our securities are not in God, God sent his son Jesus to set us free from our earthly insecurities. Jesus has told us to love God with all of our mind and with all of our heart and with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I haven't been able to do that because my security has been in myself. I tend to define my neighbor as my own family or as relatives or as friends who I trust. A neighbor for me is a person who does not disturb my security and to whom I am free to give because I know that that person will not take more than I want to give. Because the security that Jesus had was not in himself, but in God, Jesus showed us that when God is your security, the person who we don't know is our neighbor. Jesus defined neighbor as stranger. If your security is in God, a stranger is not a threat to your security, and then he or she, as stranger, can be your neighbor. Remember the hungry, the naked, the people in prison. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well, and the man who was robbed on the way to Jericho, strangers. But Jesus treated them as neighbors. Who is your neighbor? Can it be a stranger? Where is your security? Will a stranger affect your security? I tend to define an enemy as someone who wants to take away my security. When my security is in myself and in my possessions, I have to protect myself and my property from an enemy who wants what I have or who wants to destroy me. But Jesus defined enemy as friend. Because the security of Jesus is in God, he could say, love your enemies. Jesus was free to give to his enemy, to walk the second mile, to turn the other cheek, to give not only his cloak but his shirt as well. Are you free to give to your enemy? Does your enemy threaten your security? Jesus' security was in God, and there was not anything on earth that Jesus could not give to us, even his life. He told those who planned to cause his execution, "You do not take my life, I give it for you." The really secure people in life that I know are those people who have God as their security. They come in all ages and in all walks of life. They are free to take the small cookie instead of the large one, and to let others go ahead of them in line. They recognize that their salary is really God's salary, and they ask God, how much can they keep for themselves? They are free to give someone a setup in volleyball. They are free to worship and to give God the credit. When they have terminal cancer, they are free to die in peace. They are free to love God with all of their mind, with all of their heart, and with all of their strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. And because God is their security, they are free to baffle the world with their giving. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He knows all about you, and he loves you anyway. Do you see anyone here that God does not love? If God is your security, you can reach your hand out right now to your neighbor. Why don't you do that right now? Will you say to your neighbor, God loves you? Let you and I baffle the world with our giving and with our saying the good news, God loves you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that you love us and that you are our security. Amen.